You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In times of stress, God is especially near.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, our loving Father, lift our feet over the rough spots of life and lift up our eyes that we may see your love in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the constant assurance that you are near and that you can help, no matter how rough or how tough the obstacles that confront us. Fortify our lives with faith in you and in your Son, Jesus, that we may live confidently and courageously, knowing your kindness and enjoying the power you give in Christ to strengthen those who put their trust in him. In his powerful and saving name we pray. Amen. I can't take it anymore. That's what the woman said when she asked for a transfer to another job. She had been answering customer complaints for a long time. It was a pleasant job, she said, until 3 years ago when the helpless feeling set in. The prices are now so high they hurt. People start calling in angry all the time. A lot of the time they are abusive. They're pathetic stories about why they can't pay their bills. Then she added, I feel sorry for people and I want to help, but there's nothing I can do. I can't take it anymore. In the business world today, that's called stress. People work under great stress. Punch that clock. Pull that file. Pound that pavement. Push that pencil. Turn that wheel. Lift that load. Hurry. Don't wait. When St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he was talking about stress. He was writing to the Christians at Philippi, the first congregation he founded on Western soil. He complimented them for all the help they had given him and comforted them over the fact that they'd not been able to get in touch with him lately. A lot of things had happened to him in the meantime, much of it pretty hard to take. Still, he was not depressed or dissatisfied. I know what it is to be in need, he said, and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret so that anywhere at any time I am content. Whether I'm full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little. By the power that Christ gives me, I have the strength to face everything. One of the railroads of the United States published a pamphlet some time ago, which proved to be very popular. It dealt with the subject, coping with stress. The heading on the last page was, Rating Stress in Life Events. The event of highest stress value was the death of a spouse. Next came divorce and marital separation. 30 or more other stressful events were listed. Among other stressful situations, according to this survey, are the death of a close family member, personal injury or illness in the family, discharge from work, business problems, and change to a new line of work. As you can see, the losses or pressures producing stress usually come pretty close to home. International events like war, national developments like crime in the streets, although they are by their very nature stressful, are not the ones that people think of first. Things that cause people to say, "I can't take it anymore," are more often associated with everyday things, with relationships in the home or at work or at school or with other praiseworthy activities, maybe even at church. Some people are so frustrated with the pressure of their jobs that they take it out on their loved ones at home. Many homes don't need more stress. They have plenty of it already. Mounting debts, failing health, a nagging spouse, children who won't take advice or cooperate. These are the things that get people down. There are times when all of us feel unloved, unappreciated, misunderstood, and misused. People disappoint us, and things drive us right out of our minds. Usually it's not the major catastrophes that cause us to say, "I can't take it anymore." Usually it's a combination of small things. You hardly recover from one blow when another one hits. A pastor told me about a friend of his who was recently widowed. The very next week, everything else seemed to go wrong. The car broke down, the washer failed, the basement flooded, and then to top it off, her fur coat was stolen. Why, all of a sudden, should the whole world fall apart through no apparent fault of hers? One problem she could have coped with, including the death of her husband. But she never had a chance to recover. When we're hurting badly from one blow, even minor troubles deplete our energy, boggle our minds, and get us down. Of course, some people take the hard blows of life with greater fortitude than others. There are those who really believe they can't take it anymore. And suicide is sometimes the result. Unfortunately, many people who commit suicide never told anyone they were near the brink of despair. Only the letter left behind reveals that fact, and then it's too late to help. The problem was their attitude. It's hopeless. Nobody can help me. I'm not worth helping. Most of the time when people say, "I can't take it anymore," they mean to say, "I've had enough. I don't want to take it anymore. I'm not going to take it anymore." They feel tired and dispirited. They can't marshal their inner forces or even control their emotions. They give up, and to make matters worse, overeat, overdrink, or overwork. That makes it even more difficult to cope with even the simple problems of life. Still others withdraw from reality, abandoning their goals and their standards. They go on a spending spree or have an extramarital affair. Their troubles grow and are compounded. Some people lash out at other people, blaming someone else for their frustrations and unhappiness. Making someone else feel guilty never builds up the accuser, not even in his own eyes. That kind of stuff can easily become a habit, a way of life, making the person who follows it insufferable. Some just weep and go home to mother. They quit school, quit the job, and quit their marriage. They shut their eyes to the fact, but it doesn't make the bad situations go away. Relief is temporary, and the only real loss is their own self-respect. It's like Jay Gould, the American financier, who deceived his way through life and then remarked, "We've lost nothing save honor." Anyone who suggests a simple solution to such a complex problem may be thought to be a fool, or even worse, a charlatan. St. Paul took that risk because he had a better way. He was not trying to play the part of a psychiatrist or a psychologist or anybody else. Paul pointed, as he always did, to Jesus Christ. The apostles of Jesus Christ always did that. That was apostolic. It is apostolic today. Faith in Jesus Christ is not just a little grease to smooth the way. It is having a new life with a new way of looking at things. "I have the strength," said Paul, "to face every condition in life by the power Christ gives me." Don't tell me that this is just talk. I've experienced it in my own life, And so have a lot of other people. We have found that Paul was right. The power of Christ does not guarantee that there will be no problems in life, but the power of Christ gives people faith to face the future under the most trying conditions, having suffered the heaviest blows, with power to go on because they know the sun is still shining. It may be behind the clouds at the moment, but it is still shining. The sun, in this case, is the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, the crucified Savior of the world, the risen Lord who is always in charge. The whole world looked mighty black that Friday afternoon when the Son of God died. Really died. Although the signs that accompanied this event indicated that it was no ordinary death. The curtain of the temple rent in two, the earth and its elements shaken, the great darkness covering the earth. We all know that death is final, don't we? So did the people who stood underneath the cross that day, along with those who stood afar off. It was a black day, or so it seemed. Only 3 days later did it begin to become apparent that this so ordinary death, indeed this so subordinary death, so degrading and so disgraceful, was in fact the beginning of a new day. A few days later, the grave clothes were lying there in that tomb from which the stone had been rolled away. Everything was as it had been on Friday, except no body there. They were not left guessing about what had happened. Jesus appeared to them again and again. John said, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Their unbelief forgiven. Their unwillingness to take him at his word forgiven. Their fearfulness and their faithlessness forgiven. Their sins forgiven by the living Lord. These people went out to tell the good news to the whole world. The good news, plainly and simply, is Jesus Christ, that you might believe he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. The same forgiveness and the same power flow into the lives of ordinary people today, just as they did on the day when Christ rose from the dead. It comes to people sometimes in extraordinary ways, as it did to Paul, and always in ordinary ways, in everyday living, as it did also to Paul. I have the strength to face everything by the power Christ gives me. He had just got through saying, I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I've learned this secret so that anywhere at any time I am content, whether I'm full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little, I can do everything with the strength that Christ supplies. That's the secret of life. It is the secret of life. It's there for everyone to know and everyone to have. It's there in Christ, alive and well, having experienced all the suffering of humanity and coming through victorious to share that same power with everyone who has confidence in him. Confidence in Christ is confidence in God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of whom the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. Faith in Christ has a great way of turning life around. It takes the worst disaster and turns it into victory. The apostles had to learn that for themselves, and so do we. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. John was talking, of course, about faith in Christ. The best way to manage stress is to nourish a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You won't find that suggestion in any of the secular prescriptions for overcoming stress. God is the most powerful and the most dependable source of strength you have. Don't waste your time and energy questioning or challenging the goodness of God. If God made one mistake, he would cease to be God. If God for one second stopped loving you, there would no longer be God. The death of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead is a sign of God in our own history that he loves. Jesus is the ultimate proof that God loves. Jesus died in your place, in my place. It's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to die in our place and to live as Lord of heaven and earth. It's not enough to have Jesus in your head. He must be there too. But people who just have Jesus in their heads spend their lives wondering about him, worrying about him, or even arguing about him. Paul and the other apostles prayed that Jesus might live in the hearts of people by faith, so that they might come to know the length, breadth, height, and depth of the love of God. In that love, there's help. And in that love, there's healing. It was very good of you to help me in my trouble, said Paul to the people of Philippi. But you should know that I have the strength to face everything that comes by the power of Christ, which he gives to me. The apostle appreciated the help these people gave him. He prayed to God as apostles will, and God supplied resources, often through other people. You may need the assistance of a doctor, a lawyer, or a pastor. You may need the help of a plumber or a bricklayer. You may need the help of a loyal wife or understanding children. Often you need the encouragement of a hug or a listening ear. God often helps through other people. Don't forget God. He's always there, always listening, and always coming through. Thank God for the help he gives you, especially in times of stress. I've noticed that he's always especially near at times like that. I asked a classmate and friend after the funeral of his wife how he felt. The man, a pastor with a good deal of experience, said to me, I've told a lot of people in times of stress that the Lord is near. Now I found out that it's really true. As my own brother said to me on his deathbed, when you need him, the Lord is near. Thank God that he is near. Don't forget to thank God. He's part of any decent human relationship. And it's certainly appropriate to thank a loving God. Everywhere you meet him, the apostles are saying, be thankful. Paul was thankful to God. I can do everything and anything through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through the black days without falling apart, and I can go through the black days without losing my head. Paul was also thankful to other people for their help and encouragement. A thankful attitude makes it a lot easier for other people to help you. Thankfulness buoys their spirits too, because they also have their own problems to face. Live one day at a time, then, with faith in God as he has shown his hand to the whole world in his Son, Jesus Christ. Be confident that God's strength can get through to you today. If that day seems too much, live 1 hour at a time. It's a great way to live, not pushing yourself to the point of fatigue, and also not allowing yourself simply to vegetate. Faith works when it is a living and working faith in a living and working Lord, even Jesus Christ. That faith was good for Paul, and it will certainly be good for you. I can do everything. I can meet any situation by the power, the strength that Christ gives even to me. Amen.